My address this morning offers some thoughts and reflections on the theme of renewal. Most of us come to a moment in our lives when we would like to make a fresh start. We reach some impasse in our life. We find disappointing shortcoming in the way we were living. We face unexpected illness, grief, or sorrow. Maybe a fruitful friendship or a romantic love commences. Opportunity suddenly stares us in the eye. So we think, let's go for it. Let's make that leap and aim higher. A rejuvenation, a rebirth, a renewal is taking shape. The title of my address pays homage to the final line of Brendan Kennelly's much-loved poem, Begin. Composed in the 1990s after a period of illness, Kennelly writes in a celebratory tone, exhorting us to be prepared to try to renew ourselves, to begin again and start afresh. The word begin is used 7 times in the 24-line poem. Here are the 4 opening lines. Begin again to the summoning birds, to the sight of the light at the window. Begin to the roar of morning traffic all along Pembroke Road. The natural world is defined by cycles of growth and decay. And we draw sustenance from the seasonal rebirth in these cycles. Ideas and aspirations of rejuvenation and renewal are embodied in spiritual yearning, in mystical search, and indeed in religion itself. The traditional Christian message celebrates a divine savior, come on earth, who redeems and helps regenerate human existence. Renewal appears hardwired into our everyday lives. We will likely come face to face with its possibility. But that meeting with a possible new destiny can be challenging. Renewal and rebirth may be a constant of human existence, but the process is fraught and may not succeed. So can we readily renew ourselves? Are so-called second acts possible in life? Reflection and about renewing and reshaping our lives often leads me to think of the stories and characters in Eugene O'Neill's masterful play, The Iceman Cometh. On the face of it, the play seems an unlikely candidate to offer insight for renewal. The play is set in 1912 in a downtown New York saloon and rooming house. The patrons, 12 men and 3 women streetwalkers, are heavy-drinking dead-enders who spend every possible moment seeking oblivion in one another's company. They drift purposelessly from day to day, each occasionally promising to reform and improve their lot, only to become fully alive during the semi-annual visits of the seemingly successful salesman, Hickey, the redeemer-like Iceman of the title. During the play, the characters speak hopefully of turning their lives around, but they fail to make any progress. They return to their empty promises, delusions, and pipe dreams. They don't appear to have the necessary resolve. But perhaps matters are more complex for these damaged, perhaps misbegotten people. So what could such characters possibly tell us about renewal? Eugene O'Neill's writing has the ability to articulate the deepest angst and recesses of the human soul, so that his characters, whatever their backgrounds, speak to a profound universal truth. These low-life, apparent loser types in the play powerfully remind us of our own deep need to renew ourselves and of the difficulty of so doing. If Eugene O'Neill is gloomy about the possibilities for renewal, the playwright and writer Samuel Beckett is more optimistic. He encourages us to fail better. The exhortation "fail better" appears five times in his 1983 story, Worstward Ho, the first of which goes like this: ever tried, ever failed, no matter, try again, fail better. Beckett is reminding us that failure is also about learning, and what seems like failure may well contain the seeds of future success. The actor, dancer, and singer Fred Astaire is even more optimistic in the face of setback. The American songbook classic Pick Yourself Up was written for the film Swing Time in 1936, where it was introduced by Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. It goes, "Nothing's impossible, I have found, for when my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, start all over again." Are there second acts? Can we usefully and positively rejuvenate ourselves? Can we get involved in undertakings that will regenerate fruitfully and give a fresh life? The answer, of course, is yes, but with the caveat that determination is required. Renewal requires persistence and a resolute unwillingness to give up along the way. It can help to underpin our determination by remembering that we are where we are now because others have struggled before us. To persist is to pay homage to that great tide of humankind that came before us, that gave shape to our own DNA. We are inexorably woven into this grand project of humanity. To begin again is imperative. And it helps if we can maintain an optimistic outlook despite setback. Believing that the glass is half full is always a constructive mindset in pushing forward. An optimistic perspective, no matter how mild, facilitates a determination and the likelihood of positive outcomes. I am fond of saying in this church that our task on earth is to try and live an authentic, worthwhile, and decent life. A determined optimism will help us along this journey. In fact, I would venture further and say that a determined optimism might be considered as a tenet of Unitarian Universalism, despite our unease with creed and dogma. This grand project of humanity, into which we are all inexorably woven, is now being tested existentially and practically by climate change. It is the greatest challenge facing humankind. And at times we tend to despair and wonder what we really can do. How can we act or react positively? Al Gore is a former vice president of the US and a climate activist, the founder and chairman of the Climate Reality Project, a nonprofit organization devoted to solving the climate crisis. Here is Al Gore speaking recently about his stewardship of a boot camp or training bivouac for young climate activists. He says, "We don't just have one David, the David of David and Goliath. We have 3,000 Davids here at this training. There are millions around the world. If you look at all the groups that are doing this work, it is the largest grassroots movement in the entire history of the world and is continuing to build." Al Gore continues, "I draw an analogy between this movement and the abolitionists, women's suffrage, civil rights, and so on. With all those movements, when the central issue was really crystallized as a choice between what is clearly right and just and what is clearly unjust and wrong and deadly and dangerous, then the outcome becomes foreordained." He finishes off, "I bet on humanity. I believe that in spite of the well-known limitations we all have and our vulnerabilities to pettiness and greed and all of the things that can go wrong, we also really and truly have the capacity to rise above those limitations. We have demonstrated this in times past. We are capable of this. And the ability of special interests, in this case, the fossil fuel polluters that dominate laws and policies, is going to come to an end." End of quote. Al Gore's determined optimism provides valuable leadership to us all in facing climate change and achieving planetary renewal. Drawing towards conclusion, I read Reinhold Niebuhr's Serenity Prayer before our period of reflection. Niebuhr was a Christian theologian with a belief in a divine God. He believed that the Enlightenment rationality underestimated human capacity for sin. He thought that you can't use science to answer questions about life's ultimate purpose and meaning. He was skeptical that secularism and reason alone can address life's deepest problems. Niebuhr wrote, "The religious ideal of forgiveness is more profound and more difficult than the rational virtue of tolerance." The Serenity Prayer acknowledges a power, a presence, a divinity beyond the mere human and everyday in coping with life's difficulties. Perhaps it is not surprising that those seeking healing from addictive behavior also acknowledge a power beyond themselves and beg or entreat the support of that power. Some of us here today will remember the annual Catholic retreat or mission once popular here in Ireland. It was firmly believed that participation in such a retreat would inspire personal spiritual renewal. These retreats were often led by the Redemptorist congregation of brothers and priests who, at that time, very much espoused a God of anger. Their fire and brimstone delivery may have been counterproductive, but it does recognize a spiritual or religious dimension to much recovery and rebirth. Now, at this juncture, considering that I myself have attended quite a few of those fire and brimstone missions, I might entreat all of you to repent and be reborn. But I won't. I will more humbly ask that you accept that to begin and start again is an inherent part of the human condition. It may be difficult, but it is necessary. So, start that educational course. Join that charitable organization. Get that medical check done. Renew your marriage vows. Take that holiday of a lifetime. Join a dating agency. Engage in some activism. Go for it. And if it doesn't work out, go for it again. To conclude, I will read the last four lines of Brendan Kennelly's poem. Though we live in a world that dreams of ending, that always seems about to give in, something that will not acknowledge conclusion insists that we forever begin. Amen.